You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
You know, on my anniversary dinner, we talked a lot about the kids. We talked about what we wanted to spend our tax-free fund on. But Maggie and John Anderson, well, when they celebrated their fifth anniversary at a five-star restaurant in Chicago, they talked about class warfare, race, and how to support black enterprise. As they paid the check, they felt guilty that they weren't spending $200 or so in their own community. And so they came up with a plan. For a year, they would only spend their money in black businesses. For a full year, a practice known as buying black. And what they found over the course of the year was something that relates to all of America, not just the African-American portion. Maggie Anderson joins us now. She's CEO and co-founder of The Empowerment Experiment. And with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Ted Gregory, she wrote the book Our Black Year, One Family's Quest to Buy Black in America's Racially Divided Economy. Welcome, Maggie.
How you doing, Celeste? Thank you.
You know, I wonder, why this initial experiment? What was the purpose of buying black for a year?
Well, people have been trying to buy black in my community for a while. And we talk about it so much, and we talk about why we need to do it, because our businesses are gone. Our communities are not economically empowered. We've lost that sense of unity in our community that used to make us shine. And our schools are underfunded, and all the social crises that exist in the black community stem from the fact that we've lost our business core, and most of our people suffer from poverty. We have all the economic problems, and the easy economic answer is to revive our business sector. It's a proven fact, everyone knows it, that black employers are by far the largest, greatest employer of black people. And black unemployment is in some places four and five times that of our white counterparts and the highest among any ethnic group. So if we want to counter unemployment, we have to support black businesses. The point is that we talk about it all the time, and we know all these facts, and we know all these solutions, but we don't practice it. And we wanted to understand why that is. We wanted to understand why is it that in our community, every other ethnic group can set up shop and find business success, but there's no reciprocity for that. We wanted to understand why is the black community so obsessed with keeping certain brands and retailers afloat, but never demanding that those brands and retailers do business with our business owners. We wanted to just inspire a sense of pride in our economic ability, our economic power, our business power. And, with our MBAs from top schools, we wanted to really fashion this as an experiment so that folks can learn.
So exactly how did this go? Is there a way for even large companies to find out whether they're black-owned? Is that relatively easy to do?
Oh, well, it's the large companies we know for the most part that they're public or they were started by probably a white family. What we're trying to inspire in the corporate sector is that they do more business with black businesses. There should be more black products on the shelves. There should be more black inputs in the supply chain, more black vendors, more black franchises. It was very disheartening for me to look for a black-owned franchise for Kentucky Fried Chicken. I called Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they told me that they don't have any in all of Chicagoland.
Wait, what?
Yes, there's 60 KFCs in all of Chicagoland, most of them in the black community, and none of them are owned by black entrepreneurs.
That stuns me, Maggie. How is that
right.
even possible?
Right, and this is the kind of stuff that we would not know unless we take some time to do some research and endeavor in a project like this. So, people criticize us for taking the stand. But had we not done it, we wouldn't have learned so many things that, people just take for granted in our economy. And companies like KFC that, let's be honest, live off of the black consumer dollar should be doing more to make sure that their franchises are a little more representative of the community.
Well, give me another example of a product that was difficult for you to find or a company that you think should have more African-American representation and does not.
Well, in terms of products, the Empowerment Experiment was kind of a year of going without. We couldn't
really
find athletic apparel. We couldn't find children's gear, children's toys, children's clothing. We couldn't find housewares, and we couldn't find a drugstore, a dry cleaner, a furniture outlet, hardware store, all of these things that exist in every other community that is readily apparent right there in their community, we don't have. We do have these outlets in our community, absolutely. They're just owned by folks who don't live in and most of the time don't even employ in our community. And in terms of the corporate sector, there's such an opportunity there. Great, well-meaning corporations like Kraft, in terms of supplier diversity, and I had no idea about this, their great number is maybe 4.5%, and that's with minority and women-owned enterprises. So that means, think about it, 95.5% of their spend, their procurement, goes to white male-owned businesses. So out of that 4.5%,
how far does this
very
go,
little
Maggie?
Is black-owned.
How far does this go? For example, you said you had trouble finding footwear. So, Nike is a publicly owned company. That doesn't qualify as black owned, but you could probably find a franchise of Foot Locker, maybe.
That's exactly what we did. We went into the black community and we found tons of Athlete's Foot, that company, that very national chain.
It's
full of black people all the time. We went into the store. And all black customers went to the counter and asked about the owner, and it was an Arab American who owned it. We did this for about 15 athletes' feet. And same thing. It was either white or Arab-owned or Hispanic-owned, all in the black community. And when we called Athlete's Foot, they touted that they believe in doing business with minorities. You know, I said, well, I'm specifically looking for black, and the answer was always minorities. And that's a very interesting thing when we talk about our buying power. And people do research on the black community. They always talk about all this great buying power in the black community. But when we talk about the businesses, the answer is always in terms of minorities. Oh, we have a great minority business record. It's like, okay, well, how much business do you do with blacks? And like, can't get numbers. But when I did get some numbers from the National Minority Supplier Development Council, most of the spend that they brag about in terms of minorities goes to Asian-owned businesses and women-owned businesses.
We're speaking with Maggie Anderson.
It's really awful.
Her new book is called Our Black Year, One Family's Quest to Buy Black in America's Racially Divided Economy. You know, but the obvious criticism here, Maggie, and I'm sure you've heard it, is that this, in some way this is kind of enforcing the divides, that you're trying to buy black, but why not just American? Does it have to does it matter who owns the business where you buy your Nike?
I wish I could just buy local, buy American. First of all, folks don't start with the crisis in the black community. We have 3% of the wealth of the average white American. 3%. That's nothing. We have to do something. We have to be very proactive about rescuing our community economically. Black employers employ black people. So that's number one. I have to support black employers. I wish it was that all the American companies were aggressively seeking our black people and employing them, but that's not happening. Number two, I wish I could just buy local, but most of the businesses in my community are owned by outsiders, but there's no reciprocity for that. There's no thriving black businesses in Little Italy, in Greek Town, in the Mexican enclaves, and the Arab American enclaves, or Chinatown. So no one calls that racism, though, that no one is supporting black businesses, that black businesses are failing and that the community suffers for it, and that black kids are the only kids that don't have that essential encounter of seeing a business owner that looks like them in their community. All of the business owners in their community come from outside the community, take our money every day, put that steel door down, get in their car, and take that money away. And that's why our school systems are underfunded, our tax bases are low, and that's why our community suffers. So my answer to them is yes, it is just like buying American. Because when we say buy American, we're not saying that we hate Mexicans or Indians, but we are saying we want to keep our jobs in America. We want to support those companies that employ American. We want to revive American industry for the same reasons I say buy black. We need to keep jobs in Black communities. We need to revive Black American economies. And we need to bring back some of those industries that were ours and have now, you know, we've lost them. I'm not going to say they were seized. Black consumers stop supporting Black businesses. But the message is really not to the outside community as much as it is to ourselves. Black consumers just need to be more accountable for what's going on in our community. That's the message. Let's rescue our communities by supporting our businesses.
Maggie Anderson.
And when I say Buy Black exclusively, it was for an experiment. I never tell people to just support Black businesses. But, of course, that's what people hang up on.
Right. Meg Anderson is CEO and co-founder of the Empowerment Experiment Foundation, author with Ted Gregory of the book Our Black Year, One Family's Quest to Buy Black in America's Racially Divided Economy. And you can, in fact, read an excerpt of that book at our website, thetakeaway.org. John Hockenberry's away for the rest of the week. I'm Celeste Headlee, and this is The Takeaway.